tu sahanau punaktu sahaviryam karavavahai tejasvi navadhitamastu mavidvishavahai om shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Chapter 31, Additional Symptoms, Verse 24, 255, page 21. Just as white cloth appears red when red dye is applied to a cloth, the incidental bhavas become situated in the devotees by various causes and then become visible. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Besides the natural bhava, there are incidental bhavas. The natural intrinsic bhava is compared to a white cloth, and the incidental bhavas are compared to dye. Just as red dye colors a white cloth red, the incidental bhavas become situated in the devotees and become visible in them by intrinsic causes. It has already been said, among the vyavichari bhavas, some act as cause, vibhava, and others act as effect, anubhava. Right? So you're going to get that point is that you have the main, the sthayi bhava, so that's going to be a fixed aspect. But then all these others, they come in and flavor it. And as it says, it comes up, it may come together with other ones, then there'll be fighting between them, then a resolution where it disappears. So that'll be constantly going on. So one thing's coming up, and as one thing's going, another's coming up, and that. So that's the whole point of that. That there's no time because they're always in the present. Whatever is the point is that it makes them focus on Krishna, so they're always absorbed in Krishna. They're never not absorbed in Krishna. So being absorbed in Krishna, then they're going to be absorbed in all the moods that come up based on that. So the sthayi bhava is always going to be there and fixed, but depending on the situations. Like that, the time, places, and circumstances, that's going to then create all these other flavors of the other bhavas. Mm. Right? So the other 40, right? One's fixed, the other 40 are fluid. Mm. Is that, yeah? So then sometimes these different ones, they themselves become a vibhava for another vyavachari, or another bhava, right? So they're the vibhava that then causes others to act. Because if one is there, then that'll cause it. Because you can remember, it comes from Krishna, or it can also come from the devotees or something else. So you're experiencing one thing, and then someone else reacts in a different way. And so then that causes something. It's just like you're there, Radharani is there, and very happily attending this program at Nanda Baba's place. But then, having that necklace of Krishna's, she has it covered in the cloth. But if you bend over, the things on the neck, because of the weight of them, right, it slides out. You know, if you have something very light, maybe it doesn't. But when you have, you know, some good solid gold, if you bend forward, it comes out of the cloth. Yeah, it's also long. So yeah, because it has more weight. And so these aspects. So then she's that. So then there's going to be that aspect that comes up. That happened. That's coming from the ornament, though it's connected to Krishna. But then now the reaction of the elders. The vibhava that they're experiencing as an anubhava, that becomes a vibhava. For Radharani, for then her bashfulness to come up. Right? And depending on the bashfulness, that will be a vibhava for their anubhava that will come up from that. Does that make sense? Yes.
Are we still discussing sanctuaries, or we shifted already?
Now we're including sanctuaries. when we're talking about, what was that? What's the name? Bhava Rupa? Yeah. Bhava Rupa Bhakti and then Cheshta Rupa. Right? So now means we've heard the, you know, means you start off with the Vibhava, right? And then establishing Krishna's position and this and that. Then you're getting the Anubhavas and Sattvika Bhavas, right? Because they're the Cheshta Rupa, right? The activities that come up from that. Right. Then it goes into the Vyavicharis. And explaining the Vyavicharis, and it explains what other qualities are included within them. Because you could say, oh, there's so many more, but they're already within them. Because it's different stages in the same thing, or different flavors within the same thing. Does that understand? And then you also have the secondary rasas. They're also within that bhava rupa. And then you have the stai bhava, because we haven't actually had a full discussion of stai bhava yet, right? So that's coming up, no? And so then, so that makes then these 41 bhava rupa bhakti, right? And then the anubhavas and the Sattvika Bhavas, those are the Cheshta Rupa. Though in general you can call all reactions from whatever comes up from the Vibhava, you can call them all Anubhavas. But to be technical, then you're going to say is Cheshta Rupa and Bhava Rupa. And then within the Bhava Rupa, you can say these are Santris, these are secondary Rasas. And within the Cheshta Rupa, you can say these are Anubhavas, these are Sattvika Bhavas. Does that make sense? But they're all responses, so the general category, you can call it Anubhava. It means it's the Bhava that comes up from the main point of the relationship with Krishna. Right? And then within that, whether they're coming directly from Krishna, whether they're coming from something other than Krishna, whether they're, you know, independent, they're supported. Is it like that? And then you have the intensities that are there, and you know, so all that combines together. You have so many considerations. So it's continuing the same. Now that we've gone through the Vyavicharis, now then we went through the secondary, and so now we can at least enough to understand their position. So now Cheshta Rupa and Bhava Rupa become more clear.
I'm not clear. Maybe I missed something. Why is it Vyabhicharis in Bhav Rupa? Why is it in that?
Because they're the emotions that come up. The bhava, the mood. Cheshta means an action. Right? You know, dancing, crying, fainting, these kind of things. This is the mood that's there. Because you can see within it that there's a mood. And so from the subtle comes the gross. But you call it a Sattvika Bhava when it manifests externally.
Oh, I see.
So just the internal aspect, that itself will be the Vyavicharis, or the Sanchari. You could say in that case, the Sanchari is creating the next thing. The Vyavichari just means it in its position that it's different from. Right? It's different from the Stai Bhava. Right? So the Stai Bhava, that one, the Rati, that's one, that's fixed. All these others come up because they add to it, but they may be contradictory or different things. But then from that, then they generate it moving to something else. You know, because this comes up, then that happens. Then that would be called, it's called a Sanchari. That it comes up and it has this different mood, it's called a Vyavichari. So it's two aspects of one thing. So being called Sanchari Bhavas or Vyavichari Bhavas, it's just a matter of whether you're talking about the difference from the rati, or whether you're talking about how it generates a further, you know, action or, you know, some other emotion. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So when it's acting as a vibhava, basically you could say then it's a sanchari. And when it's acting as an anubhava, then it's a vyavichari. Does that make sense? And that Vyavichari that it's acting at, that can then be the cause of the next one.
Yes.
So there's always that ongoing cause and effect. So there may be things coming directly from Krishna or just the run of these. That's why they're called incidental. They just come up and they go. They're constantly moving. That's, you know, So, but you have it in a basic thing. You know, it's just like, let's say, art. Any art, then you can give it a genre, right? And so within that genre, you can have so many varieties, but it still fits within that genre. Otherwise, if it does something else, you'll classify it in a different way. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like if I, you know, do so many things with the beans, you know, and some form of chapati, then I can call it, you know, Mexican food, right? But if I take those same beans but I mix it with noodles, you know, then it ends up as Chinese. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is that it fits within the genre. So they're cause and effect. They're always going on, but at the same time, so you can still tell the difference between what's what and what's going on. And it's just, you know what you're dealing with and whether it's acting in this way or acting in that way. Does that make sense? The child does something wrong. The parent gets upset. The child does something wrong. And the parent just smiles. You understand? So you can get these different effects from one thing. Or they get angry, and when they do, then the child reacts, and then they calm down and, you know, try to be very kind. Or they start off as kind, and then the kid doesn't respond nicely, so then they get upset. Does that make sense? So the one causes the other and things like that. You know, because they did this, you become upset. Because you become upset, then you're thinking, oh, that's not good because of some other aspects. So then that adjusts something. Yeah? So, therefore, then these 41, they're all in Bhava Rupa. They're all in the experience that's there, the emotional experience, what's tasted, like that. And the Anubhavas and Sattvika Bhavas, these are external, the Cheshtra, these external manifestations that accompany these. So they'll be the cause of these things coming up. Like that. Because you see, it's when you're talking about these Sattvika Bhavas, because they're coming from the emotional state. And then the emotional state, how that affects the life airs, then it creates a particular external feature. Right? So those internal states, those would be, you can see is what there's there, those are falling within the categories of the Vyavicharas. Either the main ones or the ones that are non-different from. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they're all together, because otherwise we just call, just together you call it prema. Right? When you mix it together, it's prema rasa. But you can divide it down into these five main areas and then how they relate to each other. Right, each one of them has their breakdown, and like this, it gets finer and finer. And as Rupa Goswami says, is, you know, I know something, I'm saying something that I've understood, that I've heard from others, but, you know, otherwise, you know, I don't know that much. So it's unlimited. So,
when there is always cause and effect in everything.
Yes, yes.
And, what is the relation between consciousness and understanding cause and effect?
And understanding.
The cause and effect, yes.
Intelligence and cause.
Means the consciousness.
Oh, consciousness.
Consciousness.
Point is, if you keep, like, you keep good association, the consciousness gets improved. You keep bad association, it goes down.
Can we say that if we increase consciousness, Krishna consciousness, we understand more easily the cause and effect?
Yeah, you can understand, because ultimately, who's the cause? Who's the cause of all cause? Krishna.
Yes.
So the more you understand Krishna, the more you understand these things. That's the point, is that from the inductive, there's so much to know.
Yes.
So much to memorize, so much to know, all these different things like that. But if the deductive, you know Krishna being the source of everything, then these few basic principles, then from there everything comes, because they're starting from those. But we're taking it that, okay, Krishna is you know, Bhagavan, Krishna is Brahman, he's Paramatma. From the inductive, it's three different things.
Yes.
and they have to know this and that, but they're talking about here he's the absolute, so, but they're talking about he's the absolute, but then, you know, Brahman, is that the absolute, but he's the absolute, but he's a person, you know, it gets confusing. But if you take it from the descending point, is that he's the supreme person, and he's this medium side, from that everything is expanding. Then all these other points of philosophy, how he's not Narayan, but he is Narayan. You know, how he's taking shelter of the waters, but he doesn't because he's the source of the waters. So the waters are actually taking shelter in him. So how all these things work then become very easy. So that's why it said that when you know Krishna, you know everything. And that's literal. Because you know from that down. And then people, they can't understand that. What's the point of the detail? If I don't understand the concept, then the detail, you know, because we're so used to, no one teaches you concept, you just learn detail until you can put together more complicated details, so basically you can kind of do it. And then you're called an authority in it, but that's just your experience. You don't necessarily know why it works. Right? You may know more tricks than anybody and more, you know, have more experience, and so in that way you can teach so many people. But actually understanding how it connects to Krishna, that's the important. So if you can explain that, why do you need to get into detail? You know, if it's not important. If it's not your work, why do you need to know the detail? You know, it's like you have to get to the temple. Like that. You know, so the point is whatever is available, that's what you use. Does that make sense? You know, the principle is getting to the temple. You know, if someone says, oh, you don't know how to drive, or you can't do this or that, or, you know, where's your independence? I'm going to the temple. That's independent. You know, just because you're driving, you have to go to work, you have to go home. So who's independent here? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is from the we're so used to the inductive process. Or the deductive based on someone's inductive analyzation, then it becomes established as canon. And so now that becomes the deductive method for everybody else. But it's still inductive. You know, it's just it's still what do you call it? The second level of gaining knowledge,
paroksha.
You're still hearing from others. You know, but how did they get it from inductive? Just because I heard from someone else doesn't now make it technically deductive. I mean, they use it like that, but technically that's not actually what it is. Right? You know, it's actually coming from realization, is coming from Krishna. So even the inductive, you still have to work with things that are given by Krishna. But we're taking it that what it relates to me and how then I progress in that way. You know, until you can appreciate Krishna, then you can see from that perspective. Because when you identify with Krishna, a servant of Krishna, then you can see from that. If it's a matter of do I surrender or not, then, you know, it basically inductive is all you have. You know, even if you reading this book, that book, and, you know, accumulating your doubts, you know, it's still inductive. So, yeah. Is that okay?
So if we continue cause and effect, so Bhava Rupa would be the cause and the Cheshta Rupa would be effect. Is that correct?
Means the external form of the Cheshta Rupa. But the Cheshta Rupa says it's coming from the internal, it'll also already include the internal. So when it's being discussed within the effect that it's giving, you know, in the Anubhava or Sattvika Bhava, you'll just call it Cheshta Rupa. Mm-hmm. Like that. But technically, you're dealing with Bhava Rupa, because otherwise where would it come from? You know, it has to come from this aspect of the Bhava. Because otherwise, emotions are what cause the physical effect. Like somebody's, you know, angry and they knit their eyebrows. The knitting of the eyebrows comes from the mood.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's sort of meaning of that. You have the bhava aspect and the chase, or the, you know, the, how you say, the bhava aspect and the anubhava aspect, or the sattvic aspect and the, like this. So depending on what you're thinking, and if you're thinking, oh, I'm so foolish. So you're thinking there. So the effect that it gives is going to be an anubhava. If it just comes up, then it's going to be in sattvika bhava. So there, it's like in Gita, we learn. It's the same process. We learn karma yoga, jnana yoga, and dhyana yoga, and we study each of them separate. Then we study karma yoga and jnana yoga together, and then you see that how when you apply it, you're using all of them. So the action is always going to be karma. The knowledge of it is going to be the jnana. The absorption that it's for Krishna, that's the dhyana. So at which point, which is more prominent, that's always going to be adjusting. So if one understands the three, one can understand what's happening at the time. You know, like they're doing, but it's just mechanical, so that means that they're not remembering Krishna. Right? Or they're doing something, but it doesn't make any sense, so they're not using their intelligence. Or they're using the intelligence and nothing's getting done, and so you have to point out it has to be applied, right? Abhideya means application of that knowledge. So then you can see how they relate. So then we're given, you know, these three, and then as mechanics, then we can work with it. So here it's the same kind of thing. It's just much more complex. But it's the same principle, is that they all work together. Because of remembering Krishna, you know, it means because of the knowledge you remember Krishna, therefore you perform an activity. Because you're performing the activity, that reminds you of Krishna. Right? Or because it reminds you of Krishna, then you think about the philosophy, you know, the knowledge. You know, so each one will support the other. So it's just a matter of each one of them can be the cause, each one of them can be the effect. But ultimately, it's Krishna's the cause. Does that make sense? Krishna or things connected to Krishna. Right, so that's the Udipan. So yeah, works. I say, taken 8 years, but hey.
Now we came to the conclusion: Krishna is the cause, and Krishna is the effect.
Yes, see that. Then it explains it all. You know what I'm saying? From the inductive, that doesn't make any sense. Because, okay, but there's so many of these things like that. But from the deductive, that's how it works. It's far out, isn't it? The shift. No? Yes.
Also, like, right then when we hear this statement that Vaishnavara Kriya Mudyam Vijnana Bhujaya, like, nobody can understand, even an intelligent person can understand.
Yes.
Because the only thing that is fixed is Thai Bhava.
Yes.
Rest all are transitory. When, how, what comes and how the reaction.
Oh, yeah. Yes. But also, yes, from that side means how they're emotional, all this and that you can't understand. But you can also get from the aspect of, because they see it in connection with Krishna, they say, you know, it's just like that, Prabhupada's, they're walking in Boston at the harbor. Huge cranes, huge ships. It's a really big one. And so he asked, what is this? You know? And so, you know, it's this, it's that, it's shipping, it's economics, there's so many things like this. Oh, it's Ugra Karma, things this and that. Prabhupada says, no, it's sex life. And they're all looking at it. This is sex life? Okay. He says, because of this, people, because of that, they want money for enjoying themselves. That's why they're having shipping and docking and others are sending goods and everything like this. And so the whole scene that's going on there is because whoever's involved, you know, all the dock workers, everyone, it's just so that they have, you know, sense gratification. So that's what you kind of say is that the vision is different. That's what Prabhupada was saying before, is that the pure devotees, they don't exactly, means they see everything, but they don't exactly see it the way we see it, because we see it as just the individual solid dead matter. They see it in how it connects to Krishna and the metaphysics, and then how it's applying. That's what I was saying before, is that when you understand the metaphysics, then you can see what's going on. Why? Because it's the metaphysics is, means if you can catch the external and just connect it, then that works very nicely. But at the same time, it's sometimes not. The metaphysics is what you have to connect to bring it to Krishna. While those on that transcendental platform, it's just, they're thinking of Krishna. All these things are connected to them. So in that way, they see, that's why it's connected. We just see it that, okay, Krishna is blue and the tree is blue, so therefore then there's a connection. But the point is they're thinking about Krishna's blue, and this tree being blue, it reminds it, then they remember Krishna. You know what I'm saying? It's going the other way around. We're going blue, Krishna. They're going Krishna, and then here, you know, blue. So they're thinking of one aspect of Krishna. They see the blue tree, then they remember his beautiful, that you know, the form and all these things like that from something else. They may have been remembering some mood, some other aspect. So that also there. So both of those together.
What you said, their vision is more like, you know, they have a particular relationship that is there. But action, it becomes more confusing because seemingly we have a material connotation to it. For the vision we don't have, but for the action it becomes more complex to...
Yes.
It seems that it's always the difference is always in the consciousness.
That's where it always is, consciousness. Okay. Because when you're using the inductive, you have four kinds of consciousness.
Yes.
But in the fifth kind of consciousness, that's deductive.
Yes.
So that's why as sadhakas, we're using a combination.
Yes.
You know, so it has that mixed element. We're taking the deductive things and applying it inductively to our position.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so because we don't see our position,
yes,
you know, in context of Krishna.
Yes.
We see it differently. So then we have to see, okay, mm-hmm, me and my position, so then, okay, I can manage for Krishna, or I teach class for Krishna,
yes,
or I make money for Krishna.
Yes.
Like that. And so I'm going to make money, but then it's going to all, you know, somehow or another is connected to Krishna.
Yes.
Well, Nanda Baba is, he's just doing things connected with Krishna. You know, for him, he's taking care of Krishna. And so therefore, as Vaishyas, they maintain their occupation, and that's how they have the facilities for taking care of Krishna. But it starts with Krishna, not with that, I make money. What's that? Yeah. Because if they're in some situation where they don't have to perform the occupation, then how much do you see that they're discussing about the occupation? Because basically, other than, you know, okay, where the cows go today, which forest they're going to go, you know, okay, yeah, yesterday we ate there, I think the grass getting things will go to this forest. Then other than that, and then being out there and just seeing that everything's nice, when they're sitting around, then they're just going by Krishna. They're just talking about Krishna and everything like that. So that's the whole thing, is that it's kind of like the idea, if I talk more about my work, I'll get more money. But you don't. You know, just like if something goes wrong and I feel bad, then somehow or another that'll make it better. No, you do something, it'll make it better. You know? I'm hungry. Oh, I'm so hungry. Oh, I could eat a horse. You know, this, that. Oh, that doesn't make you any less hungry. So that's the thing. There is just all those moments, they'll just be talking about Krishna. They'll be absorbed in Krishna. Right? And so, and we see example of that, how it's going on, how the happenings like that. And so that's how we know. Otherwise, we wouldn't know. You know, because we only know this method that we're using here.
And you can evaluate our consciousness through this.
Yes. Where we compare in this, you know, what is the prominence? Is it a matter of, is faith? We have faith in that, and that's why we're involved in Krishna consciousness, because we have faith, or we appreciate the association of the devotees and all that. So that's why we're doing that. Or we see the importance of, you know, in that association with faith, following the rules and regulations as given by the authorities. So we're doing that. Then we're following that. We're improving the quality by being, you know, how you say, committed to devotional service, fixed on devotional service and that, and so therefore then the anartas go away.
Yes.
Or now from that we are fixed in that, so we're steady in our devotional service, or that steadiness now is starting to develop a taste. That taste is developing attachment, that attachment is developing bhava, that bhava is developing praying. So that way then you can see where one's situated, you know, and in some areas it might be better in one area you're doing, you know, does that make sense? Like say In one's sadhana, one's doing really well, but let's say in the occupation, there's still, you know, more attachment, so then it's like that. Or within that, certain aspects work nicely, other aspects don't. You know, even within the management, is that, you know, let's say having a meeting, it does good, but, you know, then getting people to do the things, that's where the problem is. Or someone else, it's easy to get people to do stuff, but sitting around in meetings, they can't handle that. You know, so it's just, everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. So that's why you know the science, and then you apply it individually. So this thing is making everybody the same, that won't happen. But the principle on which you can accommodate everybody being different, that has to come from descending. If we use ascending, like we were discussing early this morning, the more liberal, more left kind of way of vision, as you take it further and further to, because the idea of the pranamoy is that we cooperate together so that we can all enjoy together, right? We can all enjoy. It means on my own, I'm going to put in my effort, I'm going to get a little bit, because I can't work on everything. But if we cooperate together, then everybody can do their particular areas like this, but I don't focus so much on that, but I'm just saying by cooperation, then we can get more. Does that make sense? You know, let's say you're working on lunch, but someone else is building a car. You know, does that make sense? Someone else does construction, something like this. So everybody cooperates together, and tries to work together for that ultimate end of everybody enjoying. But to do that, then you have to create more. And if you as you take the philosophy further and further, you have to create more equality. That's why you see is that as it's going, equality is becoming more and more of the thing, because you're trying to make people more and more the same. Even though you're saying, oh no, we're not we're individuals. We're not this archaic, old, you know, fashioned kind of things. We're different. But we're moving in the direction everybody has to be exactly the same different. You know, until you take pranamoy to its ultimate thing, you have to be completely selfless in your work and get no benefit from it. So you're just working for the state. So what's good for the state, that's what you do. You're only working for that, and that's all. And what will we call that? That becomes a totalitarian government. So totalitarian government is actually an overbalance of things that are too far to the right. You know, I mean, too far to the left, excuse me. Because when I was saying that, I was thinking about what's on the right. So when I said right, so that's the effect of what it is, what you're thinking, that's what manifests. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. Well, if you take the right too far, then everybody just does their own thing. Like before, America, technically, you have your land. No one can come on it unless you allow it. Even the sheriff can't come on your land without your permission. If you say you can't come here, he can't. Unless he goes, and that's why they have the warrants and that. Then he goes back to the court, gets a warrant. Now he can come on, because the government has said you could come there. But otherwise, yeah. And if they're on your land, you know, you can throw them off. Yeah, you can shoot them, whatever it is. They're on your land, you told them to leave, they're not leaving, you shoot them, it's not your problem. Previously, it would not be a court case. You know, but as we bring in as we bring it more left, then for anything, you blow your nose, you know, you can end up in jail. You know, the guy breaks into your house. And, you know, you don't know what he's got. He's armed. He's not armed in that. You come out with your baseball bat. You hit him in the head. And so because then he got some injury, now he sues you for that injury. And then the court will says, no, but you reacted stronger than what he was doing, like that. You know, first, in other words, by the modern context, once they already pull out and kill your wife and kids, now if you shot him, they would say, okay, we can understand. But, you know, you could have called the police. They would have taken care of it. Well, before it was the guy walked, he's in your house, you shoot him, and no one's going to complain. He said, what's he doing in your house? You know what I'm saying? I heard of one case where the guy came, and because, you know, he had planned it that they were asleep and all that, but somehow or another, you know, somebody got up to, you know, go to the bathroom or, you know, go raid the fridge or something at midnight. So then they came down and saw him, and he got scared, and he ran, and he jumped out a different window than he came in. The one he came in, it was ground level. He didn't know it. There was a slope on the other side. The other one, he went out, he jumped out the window, he broke his leg. He sued. Because he broke it. You made me break my leg because you came down like this. It's like, and these are actually considered in the court. That's what happens when equality becomes too much. So therefore, your right in your house and the thieves' right in your house are the same. The personal rights are the same. So when you get into that, then you know how it can go. So it's just a matter of what is being decided there. So that's the problem, is that the conscious being applied in that particular area, like say there in pranamoy, it can only generate that. And so the intelligence, everything will only generate that. So if you use it in manamoy, then you're going to see how it establishes dharma, how it follows dharma. Vijnanamoy, how we understand, act on the platform of the soul, that we're not the body, means so therefore we detached, we renounced. So in other words, if you're working on the Vijnanamoya platform, that I'm not the body means you're not trying for position and power and authority and money and facility. That's all the lower three, dharma, artha, kama. So you can't say, you know, we're not the body, therefore I can get this facility. You know, oh, we're all equal, so therefore why can't I have it? Mm-hmm. You know. So these are misapplications. It means, Vijnanamoy means detached. It's nivriti. But then, Anandamoy, that means it's about Krishna. So when it's about Krishna, then it actually has the descending process. Because otherwise, as we saw before, it's just whatever the locals all agree to. Like before, the locals all agree, you're on my land, I can shoot you. Now it's that you're in my house and that I can't bother you. You know, I can ask if you want some tea and cookies, you know, like that. And that would be nice. So, yes.
Actually, I heard that Madhavendra Puri is a seed of love of God in this world, in spiritual world, and his constitution position is a Kalpavruksha in the spiritual world.
Madhavendra Puri?
Yeah.
Okay.
Then, I mean, I had problem understanding this because, you know, he is a guru of Ishwar Puri and seed of love of God in this material world. He must be some gopi or something.
Why does he have to be a gopi? I mean, so we were discussing this morning, you're going by the thing is that only the gopis are real and solid in that and everybody else is not. So unless they're a gopi, then they don't actually can't be a guru. That's the premise. Right? So the point is someone who knows Krishna, that's what it says to be guru. When Lord Chaitanya says, that you should know Krishna, one who knows Krishna, they can be guru. He's not saying only one who knows Krishna in this way or that way.
My question is not about, because he's very gopi, so he's so exalted.
No, but that's what the doubt is. We're going on the premise of your point. So you're discussing a detail, but you're making the details that he can only be the topmost, guru if he's a gopi. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, what about Mother Jashoda? You know, what about the cowherd boys? What about the cows? What about the other trees?
My point, Maharaj, you know...
I know the point. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because if you don't understand what I'm... Okay, so then try to work that backwards. That your problem is coming up because you're saying he's not on the topmost rasa, therefore he can't be the seed for love of Godhead. But look at it this way. When you have a seed, right? Where do they come from? Yeah, okay, Krishna. But around here, where does the seed come from? Fruits. And where does the fruit come from? A tree. So if Madhavendra is the tree, what's the problem in him being the seed? You know, saying seeds come from trees. Okay. Divya Vrindaranya Kalpa Drumada. So what's there?
Kalpavriksha.
Okay. And what's under the Kalpavriksha? There's a throne first. Divya with not in the Kalpa Drumara, Shrima, what's it? Ratnagara Simhasana Stok. Then Shri Radha Srila Govinda Deva. So he's the tree that they're sitting under there. So is there a problem? Done.
So my another point is, trees mean santaras. Actually, that's my point.
How does that differ from the point we made before? It's still the same premise. How can Chandaras? Why are we hearing from Sukadev Goswami? The whole Bhagavatam spoken by Sukadev Goswami. He's a parrot. You know what I'm saying? Okay, he flies around, the tree doesn't. You know, and we don't have a problem hearing Bhagavatam from him. Narad Muni is also known in certain capacities to be in Chandaras. And he's in the whole cosmos. He's in the material world, every universe. He's in all the Vaikuntha, in Dwarka. He's everywhere. You know, Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So Srivas is heading all the devotees. Now we could say, but Srivas is Narad Muni, so therefore Chandaras. So how can he head all the devotees and all that? And so like this. Why are you putting mundane levels of prestige on this? So therefore the guru, it's a matter of prestige? Isn't it a matter of knowledge of Krishna? It's like this. Okay. When Radha and Krishna are sitting under that tree, right? And they're discussing things and doing things and whatever they're doing. How many people see that? Right? Okay. Those intimate gopis that are there, the main shakyas will be there if it's not too intimate. When it becomes more intimate, they're not there, but the maidservants can be there. Like that? Right? Okay. So, now if you want to know what happened there, you have to either speak to one of the maidservants of Radharani, you have to speak to one of the birds that are in that tree, hence Sukadev Goswami, or you have to speak to the tree. The tree is there, sees all the things. Radha and Krishna in a bower, alone, no one's there. The tree sees. So why can't the tree, what's the problem? The tree's talking about their particular taste of it. You know, we hear about Krishna as the absolute. What's the problem? Okay. Yes. Yes.
So before, I don't know if I understood well. To evaluate our level of consciousness, we can divide different areas of our lives and see what is our relationship with Krishna in these different areas.
Yes.
Do we do like this?
Yes. Yes, means that's the second verse of the Chaturshloki in Bhagavatam, is that whatever for you is valuable, if you don't see it in connection with Krishna, then it's illusion. So you have to see for yourself, because material world has basically, you could say, unlimited opportunity. Right? But having a particular nature, you only see certain things within that. Does that make sense? Other things you don't see. Does that make sense? Like, let's say, if you see aesthetics, you'll see that. Other people won't see it. You know what I'm saying? Someone values cars like the laborers here. If it doesn't produce eggplants or chilies, then a decorative plant for them is jungle. It's a weed. You know, so they'll when they're doing stuff, they'll dump all their bamboo on it, they'll this and that. You know, if it's in the way, they'll chop it down. Because to them, it was just jungle. Right? The word jungle, you know, jungle, that comes from Bengali. You know, all that just growing there, that's jungle. You know? Doesn't have to be like the Amazon. It's just, you didn't plant it. It means, in other words, if it's not chas or it's not farmed, it's jungle. Right? Like that. So, they don't see the nice garden and this and that. They just see that it's, you know, stuff. So they clean everything, they drop everything, they leave all their stuff everywhere, and they don't care because it's just, you know, if that's not their job, someone else does that. They sweep it up. You know what I'm saying? So someone will see money. Someone will see power, fame, whatever it is. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like some people, you feed them food, and as long as it's okay, then they're good. Some people, they can actually discriminate what's good. So where your value is according to your nature, that's what you have to connect to Krishna. You don't have to connect everything to Krishna. You have to connect everything within your perception to Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? And as we get purified in the association of devotees, we can see more how to expand that and all that. Does that make sense?
And then how to be sure to go the right way and to...
That's association of devotees. That's why we hear from Guru Sadhana Shastra. Yeah. 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 Yes. Just, you know, you put your hand like that. Going to Buddhist. Shifting a little bit more, I say, southwest. Like more down to Tibet, you know, so then getting to,
and after you put two.
Yeah, then if you come farther down, then yeah, then you get the other one. Just a little bit farther, across the plateaus there, you know, the Himalayas, and coming to India. Then. Okay. Yeah, remember or.
Is it correct that if we don't sadhusanga full in our practice, when firstly it gives us liberal chance in this time, and then we can get in future total type of ruling society?
Oh, totalitarianism. Means if we're going to use the modern thing, if you take left too far, you get totalitarianism there. But also if you take the right too far, then you get also that kind of dictatorship. You know? See, the difference is the dictatorship, you can see it's a person. Totalitarianism, you can't tell who it is. That means you'll see as more and more we go into the liberal, the less and less there's somebody who's in charge. Everybody's in charge, but no one's in charge. Means, in other words, everybody's in charge, but no one's responsible. So you can't say this one or that one. But dictatorship, then you say, oh, this guy. So it makes it easier. So it's just if you go too far right, it's about the person being out of hand. If you go too far left, it's about the community being out of hand. So that's why the Vaishnava path is in the middle. It's that perfect blend between individuals working together as a group. So the individuality is there and the group is there. But in one it's group, individuality gets less, the other one is individuals and group gets less. Does that make sense? Yes.
Okay. This particular answer that you gave, you know, to previous question regarding Mother Pindapuri, devotees basically they have a misnomer that If the guru doesn't have a particular rasa, then he cannot give, you know, that disciple. So that is the reason why. You know,
But who's that spread by? Have you seen anywhere here? Have we come across it now? 10 years of going through, have we come across that? No. Like that. So therefore, then what's the problem? So where is that coming from? It's not coming from us. It's not coming from our acharyas. So that means it has to be coming from the sahajyas. Because the sahajyas is that, oh, you're not giving this, you're not giving that, so therefore you have to come to me. It's just standard Indian business tactics. It's just how the Indian gurus work. They know how to get your attention. They know how to say things. Like I said, the one guy, you know, rich family and all that, but now he's old enough where he can actually, he's starting to take responsibility in the family. When he was young, then nothing happened. But as soon as he's starting to take responsibility in that, one day he gets a knock on the door. And this sadhu's there. He says, oh, can you have, he brings acting management in, this and that. And then he starts talking about how he's got to do this and he's got to do that and I'll teach you and all that. And he says, why are you coming now? And then the guru says, before you were not ready. You know, oh. You know. They know all these lines how to totally bewilder you. So that's all. They just know is that, you know, oh, they're not, that's external. Lord Chaitanya said, you know, we're given the internal, like that, through external methods. You know, so what's the difference? So that's why we learn about the mentality in that. So they, you know, it's just like he's working on that premise. They're working on the same premise. That unless it's there, and I have to get to that. It says, why do you have to get to that? Why do you have to be in the conjugal rasa? Why?
It's upon themselves only.
Yes, but why have they chosen conjugal rasa? Why have they chosen that? That it has to be conjugal rasa?
Because that is the topmost.
That's the topmost. So there's not a social prestige.
Yes.
So therefore, then anybody in that kind of thing, they have to worry about that.
Mm.
So in other words, if you're a professional or from Bollywood, then this will be a problem for you. Because it's all about prestige. You know, I make this much money, it's prestigious. Wow, do you ever get time to spend it? Do you ever get time to spend it with your family? No, then what's the point of it? You know, it's like sitting and cooking all day and all that and never eating. And no one ever eats it. It's just that you're making. Oh, we have so much food, you know, we could feed an army. So why don't you feed an army? Oh, there's no time for that. You know? So it's like, you know, what's the point? But it has a prestige. Why? Because if people will work hard like that, then the guys that are actually on top, they can sit at home with their family. They can sit on the yacht. You know? That's the whole thing. And they don't know that they're just Shudras. So, you know. Remember Duryodhana? He was having a problem. Like that. Everybody liked Yudhishthir. You know, okay? So then they made the plan. They'll get rid of Yudhishthir, send him off to Varanavata, and then, you know, once he's out, then they'll start, you know, giving, you know, calling people and giving them awards and you know, just, how you say, what do you call it? Accolades and all these things, and how everybody's so fabulous and all these kind of things, and call public programs, and everybody comes, and in that way become popular. And that's what he did. That's what he tried to do for, you know, the 14 years that the Pandavas were out. You know, it made it where people were, it was okay, but it didn't solve the problem. But you understand? So it's just a natural way of doing it. So therefore, that's what these guys do. They give you a big title, they give you the corner office and this and that. Why? Because they really like you as a person, or because if they do that, you're doing nicely, you'll do even more for them. They're going to make more profit. They couldn't care less about you as a person. You know, that's why when 6 months before you retire, they fire you. Because then they don't have to pay you. They don't have to pay the retirement. So they don't care about you at all. But whatever it is, the illusion goes on. You know, the professionals think that they're very special and unique. Okay? Yes? It's not that we don't wish. The point is if one has an inclination, that's okay. Mm-hmm. But that's because there's an inclination, not because, oh, it's the highest, I got to have that. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to be that. I'm the most prestigious, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm a professional, so I have to have that, you know. We're the best. You know, it has to be that, you know, it's pleasing to Krishna. Why is it the best? Because it pleases Krishna. So it's not about us. But the point is all of them are equal because you have to have all of that. Right? It's just like Krishna's taking lunch. Right? You know, or eating at Nanda Bhavan. Okay? So, how is it a meal at Nanda Bhavan? It's going to have Nanda Baba there, right? And Nanda Baba is going to eat with his brothers. So you're going to have all them there, the seniors there. Then Krishna is going to have his friends there, right? Because if it's just with them, it'll be, you know, it's nice, it's formal and all that. Like the evening will be more like that. But that morning, all the cowherd boys and all that, they come, and so it has that flavor, right? Who's cooked for that? That the gopis have cooked, right? Assisting Mother Jashoda and Rohini and all that. And the gopis are serving. Right, Mother Yashoda's directing and all that. So you have the parental rasa and the elders of the fathers. Then you have the elders and the mothers. Then you're going to have the gopis, you know, of all the different groups. You're going to have the cowherd boys and all that together. Then and you're all that centered around a meal. And then in that meal, there's conversation. So, and to do all that, they're running the kitchen. You're coming in and cooking on 100 fires at once. You need servants. So the servants are doing stuff. They're doing everything. You have that. All those people are eating. You know, it's not just, you know, you pull out a, you know, pull out the stool at the breakfast table and Hari Bol. You know, you have to set that up. So that way all the different places are there. And then how do you have all that? Because dairy products is Krishna's favorite food. That means then you have to have the cows. The cows means you have to have the forest. The forest has the grass. You know, you have the Jamuna. You have all, so all that together, then the whole of Vrindavan makes breakfast, you know, how you say, nice. So all the rasas are there. It's just that this, that you say the con, because it's the most intimate with Krishna. But if it's just a matter of prestige, then, you know, don't worry about it. That means that's not, you can't call that a glimmer of rati. That's a glimmer of prestige. Right. So if it, you know, if it means you're trying to become a Paramahamsa and Lab Puja and Pratishtha, then you know you're on the right path. Keep going. But if you want to go back to Godhead, that's another thing. But if one actually has an interest in that, but you know, you don't like the Sahajas, then try to cultivate that now. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, so you know what you have to do and what you're going to do. Just like the kid's learning, he wants to be a physicist like his father, right? And so now he's starting to learn, you know, 3 year, 4, he's starting to learn all the numbers and, you know, addition, you know, arithmetic and all those kind of things. But it's not that now he sits down with the quantum physicist books and that and says stuff and all this, because he doesn't know it's going to be there when he gets to university. You know, becomes a PhD, you know, then, you know, all that. So then he'll be able to continue like that. And, you know, and he's planning to have that all done by when he's 14. So, you know, it's all, does that make sense? Yeah, so the whole point is that just because it's something later doesn't mean it's practiced now. That's the sahajiyas. Then to get them into your camp, you're doing their stuff, they say, oh, only if it's a conjugal ras can you do that. But the point is that these things are revealed by Krishna, by the Guru, by the devotees, anybody. As was mentioned, when go back to Godhead, it's just like when Gopakumar arrived, Krishna wasn't there immediately. Right? Others were there. Then Krishna came. Right? He's there, and others were, oh, where are you from, and all that. Then Krishna came. Then seeing Krishna and all that, then Krishna went into ecstasy, then the Brajbasis, you know, got upset because Krishna then went unconscious and they thought, oh, he's done something to him. You know, maybe he's another demon. Like Putana came, looked like she was a real nice person and everything, and then she made trouble. So only then when Krishna woke up and then he understood and he introduced and then that was nice. So this whole idea is that, oh no, it's going to be like this, it's very mundane. Does that make sense?
Servants of Srimati Radharani, because she can feel all rasas with Krishna, and she feels all pleasure. She feels all pleasure because of it. Everyone who will be under guidance of her servants also will feel more than his own ability. And if we motivated by this point, it will be also about our pleasure, not about.
Point is there's always going to be the mixed element, but the point in pure is it's not about that. See, the point is Braj means everybody's under Radharani, like that. Everybody's there doing things for that ultimately, because otherwise, how is it Parakya Ras if there's no Jatila, Kotila, and Abhimanyu? Right. So you know that's you know then the everybody's doing their part. Then in Dwarka, everyone's working under Rukmini. Vaikuntha, everyone's working under Lakshmi. Does that make sense? Because everybody, they're all her servants, but they're going to be servants of Lakshmi by being servants of Vishvakshena, Hanuman, Garuda, like this. Is that, yeah. So they all have their position. So in Braj, everyone's serving Radharani. It's just whether it's directly or indirectly.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.